During each episode, a faculty representative will highlight some of the academic features and career opportunities of their respective undergraduate major area. I'm Aaron Baggett, and we're joined today by Ms. Cindy Fry, Senior Lecturer of Computer Science, Assistant Dean of Undergraduate Studies in the School of Engineering and Computer Science, and Faculty in Residence in the Heritage House. Welcome, Ms. Fry. Tell us about the unique features this program offers to students.
Well, at Baylor, what I'll really hit on is what makes our engineering computer science program different than other accredited programs around the state and around the nation. We have a small nationally ranked undergraduate program. As much as possible, we try to have very small classes taught by full-time faculty members. Faculty that have come to Baylor are devoted to teaching and research. They are drawn to Baylor for its combination of world-class academics and the idea that this is their vocation, their calling. So several of the courses that you'll see are going to be taught with a Christian worldview. In fact, some of the unique opportunities the students will have will be really, how can I take the gifts and talents and abilities I have and be a good steward of them, use them in a way that helps the world. So those are some of the hallmarks.
Yeah. What types of students or characteristics of students might find themselves being a good fit in this major?
Usually, for engineers, it's somebody who tinkers, somebody who likes to take something apart, put it back together, figure out how it works. For a computer scientist, it's a logical thinker, but also a lateral thinker, somebody who can you know, look at a problem, but then step back and maybe take a different view of it. For both of them, it is somebody who is a problem solver. They like solving problems, and they like the challenge of having to learn something new.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the skills that students in this program might develop through their coursework?
Well, in addition to, of course, becoming technically proficient in their chosen field, they will be disciplined. Somebody who can focus on a task and get it done, kind of pushing aside any of the distractions. Somebody who can tackle a wide variety of unique, but even non-traditional tasks in engineering or computer science. Somebody who can hit the ground running, so to speak, and apply what they've learned and integrate it into the new things that they're also learning. They've got to be somebody who can work well on teams, teams that get synergistic results. They've got to be good communicators. That's probably one of the critical skills or characteristics that we'd like to have them become proficient in, if they're not already. If they do not know how to clearly articulate their own thoughts and ideas to someone, to any audience, not just an audience of their peers, then it doesn't matter what they meant on the SAT or the ACT. They've got to be able to tell somebody in a way that makes sense for them what it is they're doing or what it is they're thinking. Leadership, teamwork ability, again, they've got to be a lifelong learner. After all, technology is changing so rapidly. They've got to be someone who can keep abreast of what's going on and even forecast what's going to happen in the future. Mm-hmm. And they've got to do all of these things ethically with the idea that, again, they are going to use their gifts and talents and abilities as good stewards in a way that does good and not harm to themselves or their fellow humans.
Right. You mentioned some of the unique features. What types of projects would undergraduate students typically be able to assist faculty with or typically get to work on that would be of interest?
There's some traditional research areas that undergraduates can get involved with. Typically, again, because so many of our courses are taught by full-time faculty who are also researchers, a lot of the problems that they give them or the projects they give them are based on their own research. So a student can get more involved that way. But they can also take a special topics or a special projects course with that instructor. Areas like alternative fuel research, blood glucose research, swarm intelligence, exercise equipment we've done in computer science, bioinformatics, database, machine learning, networking, quantum computing, which is kind of a fascinating area. It's really out there, and software engineering. So there's, you know, a wide variety of research opportunities for students, graduate and undergraduate.
Wow. Now, if a student comes in and wants to declare the major after having been undeclared or in another major, is it possible for them to still graduate in 4 years?
Honestly, it's very, very difficult. And it really depends on when they make that switch. If they make that switch in their freshman year, and if it's from a science-related field, then chances are, you know, the math and the science they've taken, there's a possibility that those will transfer. But in engineering and computer science, the degree plans have very few, if any, free electives. So there's very little flexibility in the degree plans. And typically, the later somebody switches, the fewer of their courses are going to apply to the ECS major, and it's going to they're really going to have to count on an extra semester or two or more, depending.
What particular licenses or certifications would a student be required to have to work in the field of engineering or computer science?
There are no licenses or certifications that are required. However, there are many that are good. And as just a starting point, all of our engineering students will have the opportunity in their senior year to take the Fundamentals of Engineering exam, which is the first step in becoming a certified licensed professional engineer. Now, that license is not required in all engineering disciplines, but certainly if you're going to be looking at something building design or building construction or civil engineering, things where you're doing large public works types of projects, a certification will be very advantageous.
Okay. Are there things a student can do that would might prepare them for careers related to this major?
If they are in high school, take as many math and science courses as you can. If there's an AP course in a math or a science, or even English, like I mentioned before, take those. As a junior in high school, students can take dual credit courses. I would say if you can get credit for both high school and college at the same time, do it. And if they need any help figuring out, because again, our degree plans are so inflexible, figuring out which courses they really ought to take, they can always send me an email or stop by and we can help them out with that.
Okay.
And we'll have some information on our website also to point them to.
Which will include that information at the
yes.
at the end of our interview so that a student can can locate that. What are some of the misconceptions or maybe even the biggest misconception about your field that students might want to know or need to know?
You know, I would, for engineering and computer science, I can't tell you how many times somebody says, oh, well, that's for people who are really smart. And I would say we have got to change our definition of the word smart. Everybody has a different set of gifts and talents and abilities. And, you know, I can do math and science. I'm not really great at music. I can appreciate it, but I can't play a thing. So you have to really redefine what you mean by smart. So the misconception is that you have to be very smart, quote unquote, to become an engineering or computer science major. And I would say, again, if those characteristics we talked about are something that is there, then that's something you need to look at. For computer science, I would say the biggest misconception is that you're going to be someone who is an expert at putting a computer system together. Computer science, the computer is a tool for computer science, much like a telescope is a tool for an astronomer and an astrophysicist. So, yes, you learn how to use the tool, and yes, you learn how the hardware operates, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be somebody who can fix somebody else's computer.
Right, right. That's a very good distinction. Good point.
Yeah.
Can you give us some examples of job titles and employers where graduates of your program are today?
Gosh, there's so many. probably for engineers, they're going to start off as a design engineer or a project engineer, maybe move into project management. For computer scientists, they're going to be a computer scientist, a systems analyst, software engineer, chief technical officer of a company, chief architectural officer of a company. A lot of our graduates are CEOs of companies. Some of the employers, of course, IBM and Google, National Instruments, Lawrence Livermore Laboratories, NASA, any of the intelligence agencies are really looking for engineers and computer scientists and have hired several, many of ours.
Wow.
Texas Instruments, ExxonMobil, DreamWorks, Sony, locally L3, but then some unrelated companies. HEB is trying to make their processes more efficient. They're trying to put so much of their inventory and production online. So they hire a lot of our computer scientists, believe it or not. Accenture, we have a lot of students that go on to graduate school, mm-hmm. especially in intellectual property areas. Mm-hmm. Grad school in particular, we have a huge number of our students go into graduate programs.
Do you find that a graduate degree is more common today or even more necessary today than in years past? Or what are your thoughts on that, ad lib?
I would say that not much has changed there. It really depends on what the student wants. A graduate in computer science or engineering is somebody who can get a job. Again, depending on, do they have a good GPA? Mm-hmm. Have they become somebody who's taken advantage of any of the opportunities to show their leadership skills? Then yes, they can always find a job. And in today's society and in the world's global economy, we are so short on engineering and computer science students. So can they get a job right out of school? Absolutely. Do they have the skills they need? Definitely. If they are somebody who's interested in more research-related areas, can they go to grad school? Will that help them in those research-related areas? Definitely. Will they see a difference in their salary? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good to note. Are there actually particular parts of the country where more jobs are available, or is it pretty even across the board?
You know what? It's even across the board. Engineers and computer scientists are needed in all industries and all areas of the world. So really depends on what a student would like.